Good morning, everyone. Today's daf Mem in Erevin. We're in Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and we just got to the top of the Amud, and today's discussion is going to be about Rosh Hashanah. And I know we're ways off from Rosh Hashanah, although we're on the back end of Pesach. We are on the 22nd day of the Omer, but we are sometime for Rosh Hashanah. We're going to talk a little bit today about davening or Rosh Hashanah. But before we talk about davening or Rosh Hashanah, we're talking about how to view the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. How does this come up in Erevin, in the third parak of Erevin? Because we want to know, can I lay down an Erev on Rosh Hashanah for 1 day of Rosh Hashanah or for both days of Rosh Hashanah? And if I can lay down an Erev for both days of Rosh Hashanah in order to extend my Tchum, can I do so in two different directions on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? In other words, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, is it considered like two separate days? Or is it Yom HaRichta, or is it considered one long day? The Gemara started this discussion because going back to Daf Lamed Ches, the Gemara had a discussion on how do you view Shabbos and Yontif. If Shabbos and Yontif are contiguous to one another, right? So Yontif is either on a Friday or on a Sunday. So now I have 2 days of either Yontif or Shabbos, or Shabbos and Yontif. So how do I view that? Do I view that as Kedusha Achas, one long extensive day? Or do I view that as Shtei Kedushos, two separate Kedushos? If we view it as two separate Kedushos, which the Gemara Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis said, that's how we view it. We paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, we view it like 2 days of Kedushos. So that means that on Yontif Shabbos, or on Shabbos Yontif, I could lay down two Erevs. One Erev that'll work for 1 day, another Erev that'll work for another day. There are issues of Hachana, but the Gemara said, we can get around that. Meaning, take it into consideration and don't violate the Isra of Hachana. Then the Gemara Daf Lamed Tes takes us, okay, now that we discuss Shabbos Yontif and Yontif Shabbos, so let's now discuss the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, how are we going to view that? So that also is the subject to a machlokas. So if you remember the Mishnah brought in a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Just quickly to review the Mishnah, because really everything we're going to be discussing today is really going to be coming off the Mishnah. So just to get a grounding on the Mishnah, I'm just going back to Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, I'm just rereading the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rosh Hashanah Shahaya Yari Shema Tesaber Ma'ariv Adam Shnei Reuven. So Rabbi Yehuda says that if you're afraid that this Rosh Hashanah, they're going to make it an Iber Yar, not an Iber Yar, but rather an Iber month. Meaning, as I explained yesterday, Elul could possibly be 30 days, Elul could possibly be 31 days. Let's do that again. Elul could be 29 days, or Elul could be 30 days. Which means Rosh Chodesh / Rosh Hashanah is either going to be on the 30th day or on the 31st day. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, most years Elul was a chaser. But, in other words, you're afraid that this year we're going to have now a possibility that it's not going to be the 30th day of Elul is not going to turn into Rosh Hashanah, but rather the 31st. And as I explained yesterday, what's going to happen is for that given year, we're now going to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, meaning the 30th will be no Hag like Rosh Hashanah, and then the 31st will be Rosh Hashanah as well. So we're going to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Can I lay down to Erevin? The Omer, and you stipulate Eruv Berishin LaMizrach B'Shin LaMarav Berishin LaMarav B'Shin LaMizrach Eruv Berishin B'Shin Kivnei Iri Eruv B'Shin Berishin Kivnei Iri. And the Mishnah goes through every permutation of how it is I could set up one ear for one way and another ear for another way. So Rav Yehuda says you could do all this V'lo Hodu Lo Chachamim, and to that the Chachamim say no, you cannot. You cannot do it that way. So in other words, we have what seems to be a very simple machlokas in our Mishnah as to whether or not Rosh Hashanah is viewed as two distinct days. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Or no, it's the Chachamim who say no, it's not two distinct days, but rather it is one long day. The Odom of Yehuda. Let's do this now. The Odom of Yehuda Masna Adam Akakala B'Yom Tavrishon V'Ochla B'Sheni. Also, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that you can make it tonight. And you could say the following. Look, this basket of fruit, I didn't take off too much of my sisters before Yontif. I should have, I know, but I didn't. Now, we also know that it's an Issa de Rabbanan to take off Trumas HaMaisos on this basket of fruit on Yontif. What do I do? So, if we're looking ahead at 2 days of Yontif, so you could say to make the following declaration. Look, 2 days of Yontif is coming up, but only one of those days is actually Yontif, meaning we hold 2 days because of Safek. But only one of those days is Yontif, so on day one I say, look, I'm going to be Mafra Trumas HaMaisos today, if it's Chol. And if it's not, then what I'm doing is nothing. And then on day two, you go back and you repeat the statement. I'm going to take off Trumas HaMaisos, assuming today is Chol. And if it's not, I took it off yesterday. Right? You see what we're doing? We're playing both sides of the suffix.
Is there anything physical with that
decor? No. In fact, Rashi says that there were two distinct bowls. So all he needed to do was just simply make a declaration. Maybe point a finger, but no, he's not doing any action. Similarly, an egg which is laid on the first day, as we discussed yesterday, that is an iser of nolad, a rabbinic prohibition that you're not allowed to eat the egg on the day that it's born, meaning if it's born on Yontif. So what do you do? So tocha b'sheni, you can eat on the second day. Once again, why can you eat on the second day? Because look, only one of those days in actuality is Yontif. So if the first day was Yontif, so the egg was laid on Yontif, but the next day is Chol. If the first day is Chol, so that means the egg was laid on Chol, and therefore the next day is Yontif, which is fine. V'lahodu l'chachamim, and then once again, the chachamim don't agree with that. And finally, the third point of dispute of the Mishnah is how do you actually daven on Rosh Hashanah? Rabbi Dosa ben Horkin is Omer over lefnei Ateva b'yavtosh Rosh Hashanah Omer hachli sen Hashem lakinu es yom Rosh Chodesh Hazev es yom im hayom im lamachar olamachar Omer im hayom im emesh v'lahodu l'chachamim. And the final thing is that how are you davening on Rosh Hashanah? On this Rosh Hashanah, which is observed 2 days, but we know in actuality is only one of those days is actually Rosh Hashanah. So how do you daven for the Amud? So Rav Dosa ben Horkinus says, here's what you do. You get up for the Amud and say, look, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please, please, please save us today, if today's Rosh Hashanah. If not, then just ignore. And then the next day, you say, please save us, Kadosh Baruch Hu, on this day. And oh, by the way, if yesterday was Rosh Hashanah, so then ignore. Okay, I know it doesn't sound like a very inspirational davening. It doesn't sound like, you know, everyone's going to get really moved, you know, where you start speaking legally in the middle of your davening. putting a little disclaimer in the middle of davening, but Rav Dosa ben Horkinus says that's fine, you do that. And the Chachamim do not agree with Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinus. And all three discussions we're going to be going into greater detail today. First of all, just quickly to reiterate, the Gemara yesterday pointed out that the Chachamim who do not agree with Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara quoted a Braisa, and the Braisa says that it's Rabbi Yossi who does not view the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as two distinct separate days, but rather the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are one long continuous day. We discussed that at the end of yesterday's daf. We're now on the top of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and we're starting the very top line. The Gemara continues, Va'od Amar Rav Yehuda V'tzricha. The Gemara says, look, once I get Rav Yehuda's first point of Shtei Kedushos, I'm going to get the second point as well, right? The Iashmin on Rosh Hashanah b'hakam Rav Yehuda Mishum de lo kavod midi aval kakala de mechze kemetakein tivla ema modu luhu rabbanan. The Gemara says not necessarily. You see, because in the first case, we're talking about laying down an error for day one, laying down an error for day two. You're not doing anything. I mean, in other words, you're not doing anything. You're making an error for both days. But in other words, there, nothing is being effectuated. As opposed to the case of the peros, the fruit, where I'm literally taking off trumas and maizos off the fruit. Right? This is basically what your question was to me just a moment ago. Meaning, are you doing an actual action? No. But are you affecting something? Absolutely. The Gemara's terminology is mechzek metakein tivla. It looks like you're actually fixing tevel. And so therefore, I might have thought that even after I had Rav Yehuda regarding the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but now you can't take off Trumas and Maisos based on the suffix that only one of the days is actually Rosh Hashanah, so I'm a modul of the Rabbanah, so I might have thought that there Rav Yehuda would yield to the position of the Chachamim. V'iyash mi'inan hani tarte mishum deleka l'migzah alayu ava beitza de'ika l'migzah ba. Now, as far as, even after we have these 2 points, which is, I can lay down an error for the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, again according to Rav Yehuda, and I can take off Trumas and Maizos off my fruit, again making the Tanai on both days of Rosh Hashanah. Even after I know all that according to Rav Yehuda, but not Beitza Shenol de Bezeh, Muteres Bezeh, there I might have thought Gzeira, the rabbis would have made a decree. Mishum Peres Anoshim and Mishum Mashkin Shezavu. Rashi says, go back to the beginning of Masechta Beitza. Well, we're going to learn there together. The Gemara over here only gives us a sampling of some of the reasons why. But why is an egg which is laid on Yontif, why is it prohibited? So I threw out the term Nolad, right? But Nolad is really a nondescript term, meaning it was laid today on Yontif. So what? So if you remember, or we will go through, God willing, the beginning of Masechta Beitza, where there the Gemara gives a lot of explanations in terms of why it is an egg which is laid on Yontif is going to be prohibited. So here the Gemara cites two of those explanations. Paris anoshim, fruit falling off the tree. There's Xerah de Rabbanan that you're not, if fruit that falls off the tree on its own, on either Shabbos or on Yontif, so you can't pick it up and eat it. Okay, why not? Because once you pick it up and eat it, obviously the next thing you're going to be tempted to do is to pluck off a fruit off the tree. So here, I know, chicken laying an egg, right, perish and usher, meaning, right, it's...
Why not go into the
chicken? Correct. It's not the same, I understand. But conceptually, however, this idea that it's like fruit coming off the tree, and therefore it's an extension of the gzera of perish and usher. And I might have thought, again, the hava mina would be that the egg which is laid on one day of Yontif is also going to be also on the other day of Yontif because of this continued gzera. Or... mashum shezavu, liquids that get squeezed out on its own. Now, obviously, as we spent the last couple blot of Masechet Shabbos learning, you're not allowed to squeeze fruit on Shabbos, right? That is a malacha of schita. What if the fruit comes down on its own? So, under certain circumstances, it's going to be prohibited. Right, depends on the fruit, but under certain circumstances, it's going to be prohibited. So another possible suggestion in terms of why it is the rabbis prohibited the egg which is laid on Yontif is because of mashkim shezavu. The larger point the Gemara is making is that I might have thought that, look, today's Yontif. Let's continue the gezerah. So that's the maskan of the Gemara. That's why I need Rav Yehuda's position, or the Chacham, Ema modu lehu l'rabban. And I might have thought that Rav Yehuda would agree to the Chachamim, therefore, tzricha, that's why I need all those cases of the Mishnah to share with us clearly how strongly Rav Yehuda feels that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are not one long day, but rather two separate and distinct days. Tanya, we learned in a brayse, the case that I'm Rav Yehuda Masna Adama Kakal b'yom tavrishon v'ochla b'sheni. Hayulafan of the Gemara, the brayse over here that the Gemara is about to quote, is going to go through step by step. According to Rav Yehuda, how do you do it? How do you separate Trumas and Maestros on Yom Tov Rishon for Yom Tov Sheni? So, step by step, Hayulafan of Shteka Kol Shel Tevel. You have two baskets of Tevel in front of you, meaning both baskets are untithed. Omer. And here's your declaration. If today is a weekday, again, because only one of those days is actually Yontif. We observe both days because Suffolk. But one of those days is actually Yontif. So, if today is Chol and tomorrow's Kodesh, Tehezu Trumalzu. Look, I know it's so confusing. Today's Yontif. But if today is Chol, so then this basket will be Truma for that basket of fruit over there, good. Now, v'im hayom kodesh l'macha chol, im b'dvari klum. But also, look, today could also be Yontif. And if today is Yontif, obviously what I'm saying is nothing. Because you're not allowed to take the Trumas and Maestros off on Yontif. V'kor el Hashem u'minicha. And you designate the name, meaning you actually assign it the status of Truma, and then you leave it. Right? Because, again, this is right now, we don't know yet if Trumas and Maestros have actually been removed. Ula machar, then get up on the next day of Yontif. Huomer, and here's what you say. Ima yom chol tezu Trumas azu. Look, if today is a chol day, meaning yesterday was actually Kodesh, and today is chol, I'd like this to now be Trumas and Maestros for that. Vima yom Kodesh, im tvari klom, v'kor elei shem v'ochla. Kriyas Hashem, give it a designation, and now go ahead and eat. Now, obviously, not the Trumas and Maestros that you're going to end up giving to the Kohen, but the remainder, the Shiraim, now you're going to eat. It's Mesukan. Good. And Rabbi Yossi Oser. And Rabbi Yossi prohibits, meaning same Rabbi Yossi as we saw on the bottom of the previous Amud. Rabbi Yossi says, you cannot do that. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are not to be treated as two distinct days, but rather one long day. V'chein... wait just 1 second, here comes an important line. V'chein ya Rabbi Yossi Oser b'shnei yamim tovim shel galios. And not only is Rabbi Yossi stringent when it comes to the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but also the 2 days of Yontif shel galios. Meaning, on Rosh Hashanah, as we discussed yesterday, everybody observed 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Even in Eretz Yisrael, even with the Beis HaMikdash. Go back to yesterday's daf, where we discussed in detail why that is. But everybody observed 2 days. There, Rav Yossi says it's Yom HaRichta. But Rav Yossi extends his position even if it's Shnei Yamim Tov Mishal Galios, where he views it as one long day, and so therefore you cannot make this Tanai according to Rav Yossi.
Even in the case where it says one long day, right? With this declaration, why couldn't he be referring to it as one long day, and then the day before would be the 29th of Elul, or 30th of Elul?
Problem is that if you view it as one long day, dates no longer matter. Meaning, you're right. Meaning, the previous day was the 30th day of Elul. You're absolutely right. But once the rabbis instituted that today we're going to behave like today's Rosh Hashanah, so today is Rosh Hashanah, which is really almost like a preview for tomorrow. But in essence, you're right, but so am I. So I mean, Rav Yossi will tell you it's still the first half of the Rosh Hashanah day. Okay, what comes out clearly now from this Gemara is the following. Okay, and here we get to a lot of interesting halacha lamaisa. Okay, a lot of halacha coming up today. According to Rav Yossi, Rosh Hashanah is viewed as one long day. Okay, which by the way, that's how we accept la halacha. But then, what we just learned at the very tail end of this brisa is not only does he feel that way regarding the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, he also feels that way regarding the 2 days of Yontif. Right? We just experienced Pesach, so we just had two-day Yontifs. So what do we do here in the Galus? Because we're in the diaspora. So again, we have now a fixed calendar, so we do it now Al Shem Minhag. Extraordinarily strong minhag, as I explained yesterday. We're making brachas over this minhag. But in other words, we do it through a minhag. But back in the time when there was no fixed calendar, so what they did, because of a suffix, as they observed, 2 days of Yontif. Maybe today's the 15th, and then when we get to the next day, maybe the next day is the 15th as well. Both of those days are observed as Yontif. And the same thing with Shviyah Shal Pesach. And the same thing, we understand. Rav Yossi says, he just said in the Braisa, that the same way I view the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as a long, long day, same regarding the 2 days of Yontif Sheni Shel Galios. Okay. That would therefore mean that if, first of all, according to Rav Yossi, can I make two Erevs for Yontif Sheni? No. Meaning, first day of Yontif, second day of Yontif, can I set up two different Erevin? No. In other words, it's one long day. Right? As the Gemara now is about to explain, it also would mean a lot of other things according to Rav Yossi as well. So the Gemara now is going to segue into a story which really connects right to the statement of Rav Yossi. How about Tavia de Asa Labeiresh Galusa? Okay, there was a trapper who trapped a deer and it was brought to the Resh Galusa. The Tavia is the deer. So there was a deer that was brought to the house of the Resh Galusa. The Itzei Beyantav Rishon Shagalios. And it was trapped on Yontif itself. Okay, now, trapping on Yontif? No. Shechting on Yontif? Yes. But trapping, even though Ochel Nefesh is permitted on Yontif, but only limited Ochel Nefesh. The shechting, the cooking, right?
Shechting is midrabanan, is allowed?
Shechting on Yontif. The minig nowadays is not to shecht. The Shulchan Aruch brings down that the minig nowadays is not to shecht, but strict letter of the law, you're allowed to shecht on Yontif. So shechting on Yontif, yes. Trapping on Yontif, no. You cannot trap on Yontif. This animal, this deer, was trapped on the first day of Yontif. You're right, the Yontif Rishon Shel Galios. And the ishtache b'yomtif sheni, shechted on day two of Yontif. Okay, now, first of all, Rashi says this, we have to say this, otherwise it's impossible to go further than the Gemara. Who trapped it? Right. If it's a Jew that trapped it, so that means that was a malacha that was performed by a Jew. Right? You're not allowed to benefit from malachas that are performed by a Jew. So what we're going to say over here, I mean, this is the way Rashi spells it out, is that it was trapped by a non-Jew and handed over to the house of the Resh Galusa on Yontif. Okay, so on the first day of Yontif now, malacha done by a guy for you on a Yontif or on a Shabbos, so you cannot benefit from it.
What if you did it from someone gift directly?
Okay, so we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But let's assume right now that he did it for the Resh Galusa, handed to the Resh Galusa. So no, right? Malacha done by a guy. We did this in Shabbos. Kuf Chaf Aleph, Kuf Chaf Beis. That takes us back some time. But fine. So he can't get benefit from it. But now, fast forward 1 day, second day of Yontif. So now, yes or no? Can we shecht and can we eat? So we don't have to think much about it. They did. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chista achlu. Rav Nachman and Rav Chista were the house of the Reish Galusa. They ate from the deer. Okay, venison. Okay, delicious. And Yantav Sheni. And fresh also. Right, just trapped yesterday, just shechted today. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chista ate it, and Rav Sheshes lo achal. And Rav Sheshes, who was there also at that Yantav Sheni table, so he wouldn't eat from the deer. So now, major dispute amongst the Amoraim as to whether or not you're allowed to or you're not allowed to eat from the deer. Am Rav Nachman Mayavi, Leila Rav Sheshes lo achal, Bistra de Tavya. So Rav Nachman says, what are we going to do with this Rav Sheshes? Meaning, it's fine. I'm telling you, it's fine.
You believe it's one day.
Well, okay. So, Amalei Rav Sheshes. So, Rav Sheshes now, in his defense, in his own defense, says, Vehechi Eichel. Well, what am I supposed to do? Didni Isi, Ve'amalei Isi Tani. Just a question of how to formulate this as a statement or as a question, but the point is, and Danny already figured it out, Vechein Haya Rabbi Yossi Oster Shnei Yamim Tavim Shogalios. What do you mean? Rav Yossi says, just like the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered one long day, the 2 days of Galios, one long day. So it was trapped by the guy on the first day of Yontiv, presented to us. We can't eat it on the second day of Yontiv. The second day of Yontiv is really part two of the first day of Yontiv. Second day of Yontiv is the first day of Yontiv. It's no different than trapping and eating it on day one, which we all agree is Aser. You're not allowed to trap it and eat it even. You're not allowed to trap it on day one and eat it on day two. Good. So Rav Sheshes now has a very good argument as to why it's prohibited. Now, obviously, Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak disagree. Sorry, Rav Chista disagree. Amar Rav Amai Kusha, Dilma Hachi Kamar. So first of all, the Gemara says, can we not suggest the following? V'cheina Yerav Yossi Oseh B'Shnei Yamim Tov Rosh Hashanah B'Gola. First of all, the last line of the Braisa, which we're making a big deal about because it is a big deal. Maybe what that last line of the Braisa means is that just like the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael are considered like one long day, so too the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in the Galus are considered like one long day. Maybe that's what Rav Yossi's statement is. Not Yom Tov Sheni, not the 2 days of Pesach, not the 2 days of Shavuot, but rather just simply the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now it's interesting, you got to really figure out why would there be a difference. Why would the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael be different than the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah outside of Eretz Yisrael? And why would Rav Yossi have to say, I think it's the same for Rosh Hashanah as well? Okay, thought-provoking question requires analysis. We're going to move on. So the Gemara says, look, that's very difficult. I mean, hard to say such a pshat in the Braisa. If that's really what Rav Yossi's point would be, he wouldn't say Shel Galios, but rather what he would say is Bagola. Meaning Shel Galios makes it sound like it's something specific to how what the people in the diaspora do. Now, as far as Rosh Hashanah, that's not specific to the diaspora. We all observe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. What we must be referring to, therefore, is Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. That's what the Braisa says. So, Am Rav Asi, Umay Kusha. Rav Asi says, that point is well taken, but I can offer the following pshat on the Braisa. Dil Mahachi Kamar. V'chein ha'yer Rav Yossi Osi, Yisr Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galios, Ki Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, L'Rabbanan D'Sharu. Maybe what the Braisa means is that the way Rav Yossi treats the 2 days of Galios, of Yom Tov Shel Galios, is like the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, according to those who say that it's mutter. Okay, that's a hard pshat to hear in the Braisa, but as Rashi points out, why are we struggling? Why are we spending so much time trying to explain the Braisa? Because you see Rav Yossi, immediately as Rashi explains, your ears should perk up. Meaning normally we follow the halacha to be like Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi takes a position that's usually an accepted position. So therefore, Rav Sheshes has got a very good ground to stand on. I'm not going to eat this deer on the second day of Yontif because Rav Yossi says it's Aser. Rav Yossi says the second day of Yontif is really part B of the first day of Yontif. It's Yom Arich, that's one long day. And so therefore, if you want to defend Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, you really have to reread and give a new pshat in the Braisa. Okay. Now, Where do we land halachically in all this? Ashkechei Rav Sheshas Rava Bar Shmuel Amar Le Tani Mar Midi B'Kedushos. So Rav Sheshas, the Gemara gives like almost like a postscript to the whole story. Rav Sheshas finds Rava Bar Shmuel and he says, did you learn any brises regarding Kedushas? Meaning Yantav Sheni Shel Galios. One long day of Kedusha, two separate days of Kedusha, Amar Le Tanina. So he says, yep, I have a brisa. And here's how my brisa reads. Mo de Rav Yossi, Bishnei Yamim Tov Mishal Galios. Rav Yossi agrees to the 2 days of Yantav. And by saying the word mo de, what that means is that it is two separate days. 2 days of Kedusha. So, period. That's the brisa. So now Rav Sheshes hears this brisa. Helps his position or hurts his position?
Hurts
his position, right? He was of the position that Rav Yossi held, that's one long day of Yantif. And now he quoted a Braisa, and this Braisa does not agree with his position. I know the next lines of the Gemara are going to seem a little bit odd, but what does Rav Sheshes try to do with that information? So, Amar Lei Imishkach Lehu, I'm going to read the Gemara like Rashi, if you find those two, meaning Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, lo tema lehu v'lo midi. I beg of you, please don't repeat this over to Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, as the Braisa obviously is going to be supportive of their viewpoint and not my viewpoint, and please don't repeat it. So it does sound like pshuto shel gemara. It does sound like he's trying to suppress that information. I know that sounds strange. Obviously, there's more depth to the Gemara over here. As I point out many times, there's got to be more to the story, because at face value, it does certainly seem strange that with new information, with revelatory information regarding this halacha, and Rav Sheshes says, you know what, let's not share this information, it does sound a little bit strange at face value.
But it was the second time we had him, the whole story.
Right, correct. Correct. Stu, you remember too much. Not Stu's pointing out, it's not the first time that we've seen Rav Sheshes try to suppress information. Okay, so, all right. I'm Rav Ashi. By the way, the final halacha, meaning it certainly sounds from the Gemara, it's certainly according to Rav Nachman and according to Rav Chista, that the 2 days of Yantar Shogolis, meaning let's not talk about Rosh Hashanah right now. Rosh Hashanah, let's say it's 1 day. Okay? Even though the Gemara really didn't come to terms with that. But the 2 days of Yantar Sheni Shogolios, one Kedusha or two Kedushos, sounds like from the conclusion of the Gemara, two Kedushos. Okay, you see Rashi at the bottom of this Amud, and Rashi is unusually long, because what Rashi does at the bottom, and we don't have time for this, and I wish we did, what Rashi has on the bottom over here is a lengthy debate, and this is very unusual for Rashi. Rashi usually just comes along and gives Perusha Gemara. It's just an explanation of the Gemara. But here Rashi goes through a lengthy debate between himself and the position of the Bahag in terms of how do we view the 2 days of Yantav? One long day of Kedusha or two separate days? Rashi says it seems clear to him that it's two separate days of Kedusha, as the Gemara has just concluded. And oh, by the way, we'll see more of that later on this morning as well. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi. L'didi Amar li ameimar hu bar tavya lavi tzudi itzin ela michutzat chumasa. Now, Rav Ashi says, look, I heard a different version of the story. Meaning we all know the story. I mean, we all know. I mean, as of like 15 minutes ago. But we all know the story of Rav Nachman and Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes, who were at the house of the Resh Galusa. There was meat that was served on the second day of Yantav, venison that was served on the second day of Yantav. Some of them ate it. One of them didn't eat it. Like, we all know the story. But Rav Ashi says, I heard a different version of why. Why they didn't eat it. Or why he, specifically Rav Sheshes, didn't eat it. And it was not about trapped on first day of Yantav, but rather ela michutz tchom asa. The problem was the animal came from outside of tchom. So in other words, there was a violation of tchom Shabbos. Now again, by the way, brought from outside of tchom by a guy. Okay, let's say. Can we say it was done by a Jew? Hard to say that. All right, now let's say it was done by a guy. So fine, so in other words, there was a violation of Tchum Shabbos, or in this case, Tchum Yantav, which as we point out time and again, Tchum is Asar on Yantav as much as it is Asar on Shabbos. Now, when you violate Tchum, what kind of violation are you violating? Nisa d'oraisa or nisa d'rabbanan? Okay, good. Right. There are some Tanaim who say that Tchum is an Issa d'oraisa, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir, but the consensus is that the Issa of Tchum is an Issa d'rabbanan, so we're now talking about the violation of an Issa d'rabbanan. Previously, when we thought, and truth of the matter is the Gemara is going to seem to support the first version, the issue was trapping. Well, trapping is an Issa d'oraisa. Okay. Although it was done by a guy, so... Okay, but in other words, here, if the entirety of the Isser is bringing it from outside of Tchum, we're talking now about Nisa Darabanan. Man da'achal. Now, if that's what the issue was, so then what is the debate between Rav Nachman and Rav Chista on one side who ate the deer, and Rav Sheshes who did not eat the deer? Man da'achal savar haba b'shvel Yisrael zemotel Yisrael acher. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chista felt like this. Look, do you know that when something's brought from outside of Tchum and it's brought for you, so you cannot enjoy it? Meaning, an Issa d'Rabbanan was done for you. Now, I don't want to say Issa d'Rabbanan in generalities because I think this halacha is specific to Tchum. So let's just limit this discussion to Tchum. If the Issa of Tchum was done for you, even by a non-Jew, on Shabbos or on Yontif, so you can't benefit from it. But somebody else can. Another Jew can. So male, I know male becomes like a big discussion. Because what presumably, ostensibly, I mean, it's debatable, I know, the male is brought to your house from outside of Tchum. Okay? So it could be that, and obviously it's brought for you. Meaning it has your name on it. So the male coming to your house from outside of Tchum, if it's brought for you, so then you can't benefit from it on Yom Tov and Shabbos. But, interestingly enough, somebody else can enjoy it. Another Jew can enjoy it. Okay? Why are we being makel? So let's remind ourselves. The Yisr of Tchum is only to begin with an Yisr d'Rabbanan. So now a violation of the Yisr d'Rabbanan was done for you. You can enjoy it, but the halacha is someone else can enjoy it. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chista now make the following argument. The deer was brought in from outside of Tchum, but not for us. For the Reish Galusa. So therefore, we can enjoy it. And then, Uman Deloach, Rav Sheshes, what was his viewpoint? Savor called Asala Be Reish Galusa, Daita Dekula Rabban, and I'll say, no, I think you're wrong. In that, when it was brought in from outside of Tchum, the non-Jew who brought it in not just for the Reish Galusa, but for the Reish Galusa and all the guests of the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa hosted the rabbis at his house all the time, so therefore we were in mind when it was brought in from outside of Tchum, and therefore we can't eat it. And that, says Rav Ashi, is actually what the issue was. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about that postscript that we just read about in the bottom of the previous Amud, where clearly the issue was trapping on day one, eating it on day two? So, lohayu dvar me'olam, meaning, according to Ravashi's version of the Gemara, so that incident never happened. Meaning, he dismisses that postscript to the story. Okay. How lifted the ase lemechuza? A turnip was brought to the town of Mechuzah. This is taking place on Yontif. Nafak Rav Chazia de Kamisha. Now, Rav looks out and inspects the turnips. Now, did you know the following? Did you know that on Yontif you're allowed to buy food? Now, don't misunderstand. Meaning, you can't go to the store and, you know... Later. Right. But in other words, however, on Yontif, we're going to see much more of this in Masechta Beitzah. On Yontif, what you're allowed to do for Yontif needs is go out, right? Not make a financial transaction, but understood that you're buying food from somebody, and understood, of course, that you're going to pay for him after Yontif. Okay, you're allowed to do that for the purposes of eating on Yontif. So now turnips are being brought in. Right, left is turnip.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Yeah. So turnips are now being brought into town. Rava inspects it, Chazia de Kamisha, and he sees that the turnips are like a withered a little bit, meaning they're not super fresh. And from Rava's standpoint, again, he had a halachic mind. He was only worried about the halacha of the matter. And so Rava says, perfect. So Sharava Lamizba Mine Amar Havada Me Esmol Nekra. So it must be, because they're not super fresh, they were not plucked today. They were plucked yesterday. And so therefore Rava says, we're good. We're absolutely good. So my Amart. And now that I know that it wasn't plucked today, it was plucked yesterday. So now, what do you want to argue? Michutz l'tchum asya, that when the non-Jew brought it, he brought it from outside of tchum. Haba b'shvil Yisrael zeh, mutar l'echol Yisrael acher. Look, he didn't bring it in for this particular person, he brought it in for somebody else. And we know that when it comes to tchum, so we could be a little bit more makel. V'chol shekein haidai daita d'nachrim asa. And here, it's even better. Because when the non-Jew brought the turnips into town of Mechuza, Jews weren't the only people living in Mechuza. There were Jews and non-Jews living in Mechuza. And so now the argument that you can make is that it was brought outside of Tchum, not even for a Jew, but for a non-Jew. And so therefore there's no problem for a Jew to buy these turnips. Great. What happened is, next Yantif. But thou, the non-Jew, thought, wow, unbelievable. What a business opportunity. We could bring in fruits and vegetables on Yantif, sell them on Yantif to Jews. In other words, even though we're bringing it from outside of Tchum, so next Yantif comes around, and all of a sudden, all these fruits and vegetables are coming in, being transported by the non-Jew from outside of Tchum for the Jew, now becomes an issue. So next Yantif, Rava had to change his tune, and Rava says, now it's going to be Aser. How the Gemara now describes another incident, also seemingly related to Yantav Rishon versus Yantav Sheni. Along comes gardeners, and what they do is they cut hadasim on Yantav Sheni. Okay, clipping hadasim from the ground, a malach of coats there, and they're doing so on Yantav Sheni. Now these are gardeners that are doing it. Le'orta. So now, end of Yantif. So now Ravina says to the Jews of the town, you know, you can take these hadasim and smell from them right away. Now, Amalei Rava Bartachlifa la Ravina Leisaluhu Marmim Neshen and Bnei Torah. Now, wait a second. Let's prohibit it for them because they are not Bnei Torah. Meaning, essentially, let's understand a little bit of the subtlety of what's going on over here. Normally, when a malacha is done on Yantav by a non-Jew, as we just discussed, he can't benefit from that malacha. Okay, by Tchum, we're going to be a little bit more makel. Only the intended recipient can benefit from it. Other Jews can benefit from it, but that's by Tchum. But a regular malacha that's violated on Yantav by a non-Jew, a Jew cannot benefit from such a malacha. Okay. What you have to do is you have to wait till after Yantav. And even after you wait after Yantav, how long do you need to wait till after Yantav? Bichdei shiyase. You have to wait the amount of time that it would take to do that malacha. Okay? Here, snipping hadasim, I know it's not that long, it's just a simple snip. But anyway, but you have to wait bichdei shiyase. What Ravina here is arguing and presenting is that because it's Yantav Sheni, so you know what, let's be even a little bit more makel. And let's allow the benefiting of those hadasim right after Yantav, immediately after Yantav, and let's not wait Bechtei Shiyasa. What's the thought process of Ravina? It's Yantav Sheni. Meaning, we'll be a little bit more makel when it comes to Yantav Sheni. It's a subtlety, it's a real nuance. So what the argument is to Ravina is, don't do that. Because they're not Bnei Torah, they don't speak in subtlety and nuance. And once you allow them to enjoy the hadasim immediately after Yantav Sheni, so they're going to think to themselves, oh, Yantav Sheni, oh, okay, fine. And they'll be more lax in their observance of Yantav Sheni. And so Ravina says, don't allow it. So Maskev Lo Rav Shmaya Taima Deinam B'nei Torah, B'nei Torah Shari, V'ham Be'inam Bechtei Shiyazu. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Even if they are Bnei Torah, isn't there this requirement of Bechtei Shiyasu? V'ayze shalo l'rava, amr lehu binim Bechtei Shiyasu. And Rava says, you need Bechtei Shiyasu, meaning that what Ravina thought, what we could do is be slightly more makel because it's Yantav Sheni and not have the requirement of Bechtei Shiyasu. On that, the Gemara quotes in the name of Rava, it's not true. meaning that there's a Bichtei Shiasu waiting period for Yom Tov Rishon. There is also a Bichtei Shiasu waiting period for Yom Tov Sheni as well. Okay. Rav Dosa Omer over Lifnei HaTeva. So far so good. In the Mishnah, we talked about making an Eruv on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, conclusion is, you can't. In other words, you can't make two separate Eruvin. We talked about making a Tznai to be Mafish Shumas and Maestros on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Again, the conclusion is you can't. And now, for the remainder of today's daf, we talk about davening on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus did something very interesting as we went over the beginning of today's daf. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, he would get up there and he would daven, and he would say, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save us today, if today's Rosh Hashanah. And if not, well, we have tomorrow, obviously. And then the next day, he would also stipulate, meaning as he was davening for the Amud. And the Chachamim don't agree with Rav Dosa ben Horkanus. Okay. Now, as I mentioned yesterday's daf, and I'm going to reiterate today, actually, in the tefillah of Rav Dosa ben Horkanus, there could be possibly two things that are offensive. Number one, the Shliach Tzibur getting up there and saying, you know, today may not be Rosh Hashanah, which is offensive. I mean, offensive, meaning it should not be broadcasted. And what was the other thing that was going on? He also mentioned, if you go back to the Mishnah, he also mentioned, you know, today's Rosh Hashanah and today's Rosh Chodesh. Now, I know that doesn't sound offensive. It's true. But as we'll see in the Gemara, perhaps that's not correct. Shouldn't, and now when I say perhaps, by the way, what do we do? Do we mention Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah? No, we don't. So as we're going to see, that also could possibly be an inappropriate or incorrect position. So what the Gemara now is going to try to pinpoint is, what is it about Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus really offend, is what the Chachamim are taking exception to? So Amar Rav Ki Avinu Bei Rav Huna Ibai Lan Mala Asker Shav Rosh Chodesh Rosh Hashanah Kevin De Chalukim Bemusafim Mamrinan Odim Vazichron Echad Ola Lakan Ulakan. And so the Gemara over here starts off the discussion between the Amoraim as a very simple, straightforward question. Do I mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah? On one hand, when it comes to the Karbanos that are brought in the base of Mikdash and Rosh Hashanah, so we bring Karbanos for Rosh Chodesh, because today is Rosh Chodesh, plus we bring the additional Karban Musafim that are brought because today is Rosh Hashanah. Okay? And so therefore, in Tefillah, right, Tefillah is Keneged, the Karbanos, so in Tefillah, maybe it's appropriate to mention both, that today is Rosh Hashanah and today is Rosh Chodesh. Or maybe no. Once we say Zikaron, so one Zikaron covers everything. It covers Rosh Chodesh and it covers Rosh Hashanah. Amar lan tenisua. So he says, what do you mean? You ask me this question? Isn't it a Mishnah? Meaning, isn't it our Mishnah? Rabbi Dosa Omer over Lifnei HaTeva. So my la lahaskir. So isn't it, what was, again, the Gemara is now essentially asking, what was offensive about what Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus did? Isn't it the fact that he mentioned that today is Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara says, lo, lahasnos. No. What was offensive is that he got up there and he davened for the Amud and he said, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, if today's Rosh Hashanah. That was offensive. Hachinami mistabra mizitani bebraisa. And the Gemara says, and in fact, I'll tell you, that really is the pshat, because we learned in the Braisa v'chena yor Rabbi Dosa osu b'rashi chadashim shal kol Hashanah. Kulo. Rabbi Dosa would not limit this position to just Rosh Hashanah. He would do it every Rosh Chodesh. Every time we get to Rosh Chodesh, we don't know. Today's Rosh Chodesh, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. So he would make this tonight in the middle of davening. V'lo hodu lo. And the Chachamim don't agree. Iyamar b'shlama la'asos mishim hachi lo hodu lo. Now if the issue is getting up there and making the Tanai, so then I understand. Meaning, then I understand the lo hodu lo. Ela I amart lahaskir amai lo hodu lo. But if the issue is the Azkara, meaning on any other Rosh Chodesh, what else is going on in that Rosh Chodesh? The only thing that's going on in Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chodesh. There's no competition between Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. That's only one Rosh Chodesh of the year. The other Rosh Chodeshim, it's just Rosh Chodesh. So the only offensive thing that he could have been doing is just simply stipulating, if today is Rosh Chodesh.
The first mitzvah that was given to Jews before they lived was to make their own calendar. So
right.
They're the ones who establish when things are. So why are
all true? But when you're not in Yerushalayim and you're not by Beis Din, you literally don't know. So that's why you're going to get up there and you're going to daven and you're going to stipulate. Ve'elamai lahasnos, so lamali la'aflugi betarte. So the Gemara says, well, if the only issue is that of a Tanai, so meaning and stipulating, so why then are we having two different discussions? What about Rosh Hashanah and what about Rosh Chodesh in general? So the Gemara says, Tzrichadiyash min Rosh Hashanah hava min abaha kami rabban adalo mishum da'afi lezazulebei. Look, I might have thought that really fundamentally, the Chachamim are okay. Meaning you get up there for the Amud and you say, you know, I don't know if today's Rosh Chodesh, which is true. I don't know if today's Rosh Chodesh, it could be tomorrow is. That in of itself, the Chachamim are okay with. The problem is you do that in Rosh Hashanah, and everyone's listening, and everyone's crying, but behind the tears is also, you know, today might not be Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so fine. So, you know, I'll go home and I don't have to be super careful about Rosh Hashanah. I mean, I just heard the Shlech Sieber today. He said, it may not be Rosh Hashanah. So it's not so much, there's no problem with admitting that we don't know. It's admitting in a Rosh Hashanah, because people are going to go home and be Mechal Rosh Hashanah. But when it comes to any other Rosh Chodesh, there's no Issur Malach on Rosh Chodesh. So what? So now the Shlach Tzibur gets up there and he says, you know, today may be Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Maybe the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Dosa. And then, of course, we could turn the argument the other way. Where if all I had was the argument about Rosh Chodesh in general, so then Rav Dosa would say, it's appropriate to admit that today we don't know, and the Chachamim disagree. But once I go to Rosh Hashanah, maybe Rav Dosa will agree to the Chachamim and say, don't mention a word about Suffolk today. Because it's Rosh Hashanah, people are going to hear it, and be mezalzel on Yontav. So tzricha, so therefore, it is absolutely necessary to us hear the machlokas, both on Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. Okay, quickly just to sum up, and I ran out of time. We have now, we're in the middle, in the heart of the discussion of davening and Rosh Hashanah, which was the final point of the Mishnah on Lamentes Amud Aleph. When you daven on Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Dosa says, you get up there for the Shlich Tzibur gets up there and says, please save us today, if today is Rosh Hashanah. The Chachamim do not agree, and there are two distinct issues that may be going on. One is a mentioning of Rosh Chodesh together with Rosh Hashanah. Is that appropriate? Could be that that was what was offensive. Or the idea that you're saying, we don't know that today is Rosh Hashanah. Could be tomorrow is. We don't know if today is Rosh Chodesh, could be tomorrow is. So maybe that could be the point of dispute between them. Right now the Gemara says it really is the Tanai. That really is what is at issue between Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim. Okay, more davening talk tomorrow. What happens when you have the coincidement of Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, Chol HaMoed and Shabbos? What's the appropriate way to daven Shmoneh Esrei?
Everyone should please go to their davening locations.
Okay, more davening talk coming up over the next couple of days. Continue Refuah Shleimah for Binyamin Zevakon Ben Shimon Rivka for Rafael Zaka Avram Ben Yakir Avigail. Le'ilu Nishmas Malka Bat Yochanan. Rabbi Chanan Yemen Akash Amar Atzakash Baruch Hu Zaka Zolafir Chachir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenema Nechafetz Amantiko Yagdol Torah Viyadir.